Blog Talk Radio.
Alright guys, we're just waiting on Al real quick. We're going to get this started.
This is all getting cropped out, by the way, just so you guys know. You somehow are listening. Yeah, but who's going to be listening? I got tweeted at. I'm listening.
Oh, we're going to be periscoping, too, at the TBT tournament off my Twitter. Well, that's very easy to do. Yeah. Raid dog. Oh, no, I'm looking at Raid dog. Screaming. It's got to settle down. Do what? It says hang on and begin with the season
show. Hello?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
You hear that in the background? Go over there. Try it over there.
You go over there. I'm sitting next to the dog.
Stay over there.
Where are you going, buddy? Good boy.
Still. Never mind.
What are you hearing?
You don't hear that little background static?
No.
You don't?
No.
I do want to talk while I'm running. Alright, we're gonna start. Just get this.
Come on, buddy. Wanna get down? Huh? Daddy's almost home. Alright, so let's go with this.
You used to be able to add time, now you can't.
9 minutes remaining, looking like it.
Your text I was sending.
What do you work? Can't there someone there show you how to do it?
Oh, right here. Okay, we can add more time right here.
See it now?
54 minutes and 43 seconds.
We'll add more if we need it, but it'd be good.
Are we recording or what?
I'm just going to crop the beginning until I say what I'm going to start to say now. We're going to start now.
Isn't it going to post on the thing already?
It'll post, but I'll just take it off and I'll download it and then crop it. To be honest, no one goes on Block Talk Radio. Look at. All
right. Go ahead.
All right, guys. Welcome in to the first ever fantasy football podcast presented by DYST Now. I'm your host, Blake Ortiz Jr., and I'm on today with Al Kalo, a good friend of mine. We're finally able to get this show started. You guys have no idea the type of trouble that we've went through to just do this podcast. I'm sure Al would love to tell you a little bit about the struggle that this has been.
I don't want to talk about that at all because it's been a nightmare. But it's all going to be worth it in the end when we give these people the insight that they deserve, or at least my outlook and your outlook as well. We need to give these people the facts they need to hear because football season is upon us. Whether people want to believe it or not, I certainly want to believe it, seeing as I am counting down day by day until the beginning of the season. So. Let's talk about
All right, let's get to it. So, as I was, looking over some things on the internet, obviously the internet, a lot of it on there isn't true. You can't believe everything you see on the internet. But this one I actually looked into, talked to a couple of buddies out in Vegas, and there's a thing, a new trend. You know, you're always looking for fantasy football trends, but there's a trend called the Vegas Effect. And what that is each year, as you know, Vegas releases their win totals for each team, and you can select the over and under of them to gamble on. And that actually has been a trend that's resulted in positive feedback to give you insight on fantasy scoring. And what I mean by that is the people at Vegas are almost predicting who is going to be that fantasy sleeper. And what I mean by that is, so last year, the Cincinnati Bengals had a projected or had an over and under total of 8.5. And what Vegas was pretty much telling us was that they were optimistic that the Bengals were going to be a good team, at least a good offensive team, and they're going to put some points on the board. So looking at their roster, where most of the points are going to come from? Andy Dalton. And, Al, do you know what Andy Dalton's ADP was last season?
I'm going to guess probably quarterback, obviously a backup quarterback, maybe 12th round.
It honestly depended on what league. I guess league size you did. If you had a big pool of teams, maybe he would get drafted. But his ADP last season, he didn't have one. And Dalton noted he missed 4 games due to injury. He still finished with 244 fantasy points. He was 18th in scoring overall quarterbacks. And on that list, he was only 43 points out of the top 10, a number he would easily have reached if he didn't get hurt. So, if you're still not sold on this type of Vegas spec, which I wouldn't expect you to be, and I just gave you one little stat line, and everyone's probably saying, Mike's crazy, don't trust Vegas, it's a bunch of bullcrap, but it's not. Arizona Cardinals last year had a win total of 8.5 wins. And, Al, do you know the only team that was able to have three players in their position in the top three. Or sorry, top 10 in their position.
Maybe the Bengals?
Actually, the Arizona Cardinals were the only team that had three players in the top 10 in their respective positions. That was Carson Palmer at ADP of 143, Larry Fitzgerald, ADP of 92, and David Johnson didn't have one.
Really? Actually, you know what? I probably could have guessed that if you gave me a couple more guesses. Like, if they were a dominant offense, and, I mean, it just goes with that. A lot of players on good teams. Bad teams. I do like that Vegas quite a bit. There's teams that are going to be in every game. Or they're all going to be the reason they score more points than most teams are. They are a good team. So definitely like that stat. And it is something I would look into when I draft. I definitely do want to play some good teams, obviously.
Yeah, and just a quick thing for you guys, if you guys are interested in this type of Vegas effect, we'll post an article after the show. We'll explain more with the podcast link. We're not going to take too much more time on this, but just a quick recap on it. If you are interested in it, a couple other players on this list for this year is Andy Dalton's on there again. The Bengals have a nice high win percentage according to Vegas. Tony Romo was on there. Joe Flacco was on there. Mike Wallace, Frank Gore, Jonathan Stewart. Yeah, so again, like I said, after the show, you guys will be able to have a more in-depth look at that. We'll jump more into that in the article that will be posted with this podcast. But let's jump into our high risk, low risk. And this is something that we're going to be doing every week. And guys, we're going to be doing at least probably around 5 to 6 players. And Al and myself will tell you, we'll give you guys the list of players. And then we'll both jump into our opinions on who we think is going to be a high risk and who we think is going to be a low risk out of the group of players that were selected. So, Al. For the first group of players, I'm going to read them off to you, and then you can tell me if you think they're high or low risk.
We're going to go 1-1-1, right?
Yeah, we'll go 1-1 for it.
All right, yeah, sounds good.
All right, so Eddie Lacy, he's got an ADP of 21.8. L, high risk, low risk?
This is kind of in the middle for me. I am lower in Eddie Lacy.
I'm going to go with low risk. You want to know why? Because, like I just said, this is a great offense. They are going to be in the red zone plenty of times per game. And I want guys that, even if they don't play well, they're going to fall into the end zone. Mike McCarthy definitely wants to give the ball to his running backs. He knows that Eddie Lacy has worked very hard to obviously get to the top of his depth chart, but to get back to his form 2 years ago, he was one of the best fantasy running backs. He was drafted that way last year, but obviously he didn't
pan
out too well. Also, he's not really stable, but he's a good player. He's a great backup.
He is definitely a good
running back. So I'm definitely going to go low risk. I have no problem taking one at the end of the second for a 12-14 team. But if I could get anything in the third round, then in the third round, I'm going to be very happy with my life. That offense is Jordy Nelson. I definitely want that PC, but I
can get that. Well, Al, I'm actually on the opposite spectrum on Eddie Lacy. Yet I've never really been a fan of him. Be honest, I'm going to go with a high risk. I understand, you know, that Fat Eddie has had a lot of injuries at the wide receiver position. Listen, until I see some production out of this man, he's going to be Fat Eddie to me.
But I understand, you know, he's had a lot of injuries at the wide receiver position, which obviously is going to add more pressure to the running game. So I can understand that. But with other players going around him, like a Doug Martin, Brandon Marshall, Cam Newton, LeSean McCoy, I just can't see myself taking Eddie Lacy over those guys.
Oh, I don't
like his ADP. I would not take him over either. But if I'm in third round and I need a running back, I would not mind him as my running back. Like I said, Mike, he was one top five last year. He's still the same player. I mean, there's nothing changed. They're back in full form with Jordy Nelson. I totally understand what you're saying, though. Fantasy football is a now game. Everyone is worried about what have you done for me lately.
Next up is Carlos Hyde. Al, high risk, low risk?
I am going with high risk for Carlos Hyde. A couple different factors.
Don't get me wrong. If I see a player's high risk, that doesn't mean I don't like them, because I actually do like him. But me personally, I'm more of a safety guy. And there's just too many question marks for me here. First and foremost, have people figured out the Chip Kelly offense? I understand he's not a team, but he could be a runner, he could be a straight guy, a runner, we don't know. I haven't seen him catch passes out of the backfield. I'm hearing that he's looking good in camp so far, but it's just too risky for me, especially with a chronic foot injury. Now, granted, he is healthy now, but I'm a very safe fantasy player. And especially with his ADP, I'm going to definitely say high risk for Carlos. And also, right before I let Mike's opinion here, that is me going back to my good team, bad team theory.
Not going to be a very good offense. It's plus what I believe. How often are they going to be in games where they cannot run the football?
And they're going to put in a pass catch back strictly. I mean, he can be playing just the first half of some games, some away games, especially in that division. So that's also another red flag for me in that division. So I'm assuming you're going to agree with me on this, Mike. What do you think about Carlos?
Well, I'm all with you on this one. He's got an ADP right now of about 35, and I think he's a high risk. I'm definitely not taking him that early. I mean, obviously, if he was to fall, it depends where he'd be at, and I'd maybe consider him. But, you know, just to piggyback on a couple of things, I really don't like the team that he's on. You know, that team's very, very questionable to me. I don't even know if they're going to be a competitive team at all this year on either end of the ball. But, you know, one of the things that concerns me here is, like what you're saying, you know, the foot injury. You know, all indications are Hyde is healthy. Which I guess I believe that, but I'm still concerned because of his style of play. I mean, he's a brute force. Like, he plays aggressive. He reminds me almost I'm drawing a blank on his name here. He reminds me almost like an Amon Green when he was in Green Bay. Amon Green looked just hit defenders. And that's kind of how Carlos Hyde reminds me of a little bit of Amon Green.
I think he's a little more elusive than people I have seen him avoid tacklers and whatnot. So, I'm definitely thinking he's a receiver in that range, even if I went receiver in the first three rounds, and if I just had one of them, I'd rather have the receivers to go with Carlos. Depending on who you're in a 12-team league, he's going to be a star. But I just look at the overall picture of how many weeks is he going to be my guy. Yeah, definitely a player.
Yeah, I mean, like you're saying,
he's definitely an elusive running back.
I don't know if you knew this, but in his rookie season, with running backs of at least 50 carries or more, only Marshawn Lynch had a higher elusive rating. So he is a very elusive running back. And I think that's going to really go well in Chip Kelly's offense. But again, no, I don't know if he's really an East to West Coast style runner. You know what I mean? We saw DeMarco Murray struggling in Chip Kelly's offense. And I know that might be a bad comparison, but we're not. I'm not sure. And that's a question mark that, I mean, if he's going to be an East to West Coast runner, he's going to thrive in the Chip Kelly offense, and he's going to be a steal in the draft. But I'm not sure if he can. And he and Carlos Hyde has reportedly lost a lot of weight to prepare himself for Kelly's up-tempo offense, which, again, is another factor that concerns me because he's never played at a low weight like this.
Yeah. Honestly, I'll probably take him to the end of the fourth as my RB2 for sure. But I'd like to see him in this. Probably not going to happen.
Yeah, other players going around him is Jordan Reed, Andrew Luck, Jonathan Stewart, Matt Forte, and potentially even Keenan Allen.
I think Keenan Allen might be going a little higher from recently what I've seen. I would say Keenan Allen would have been pretty much anyone who just said I would take over Carlos Hyde. Maybe not Jonathan Stewart, but I think we're going to talk about John a little bit later in the show.
Oh, yeah, he'll be mentioned. So, Al, next up here, DeMarco Murray, high risk, low risk?
Definitely a high risk for me. I mean, being an Eagles fan, it's safe to say that I watched DeMarco Murray play a little bit in my time when he was absolutely slaughtering the Eagles and the Cowboys, or while he was slaughtering the Eagles, while he was on the Eagles, by just being bad. It was 100% the system. This man did not rush for almost 2,000 yards and then lose it all. It was clearly the system. And I believe he will have a better system than Tennessee, but that's the key word, is Tennessee. He's the offensive.
He's an offensive where we don't come. First of all, we don't even know the coach. So he's a little bit more difficult.
Because we know what Chip Kelly's going to do. I have no idea what Mike Mularkey is going to do with this team. And I also know that they're going to be physically good in TDA. So I definitely expect that they're going to be expert. This is going to be the future. We know that Mularkey is getting up in age. But I do expect him to definitely be a good running back. But how many opportunities is he going to have to run the ball? Not a bad team. It is really not going to be in too many leagues where they can just run the clock out. And even if he's competing with someone, even if they're not competing, if he's going to have a split, I just don't know if the problems he's going to have are going to be good enough to make draft. But I could definitely be wrong. But like I said before,
yeah, I mean, his ADP is 48.7, so, you know, he's right there, right under 50. But like you were kind of saying, they drafted, you know, a Heisman-winning running back in Derrick Henry, who I think may vulture away some red zone touchdowns this season. And another one of my really big concerns is their running back coach, Sylvester Kroon, actually said that he's open to going with a high-end approach with Murray and Henry. That's not something I want in a running back that might be my RB2.
Yeah,
You know? And another worry, too, is their offensive line, which was at the bottom of the league, ranked at the bottom of the league last year. And, yes, they added, Jack Conklin, which will certainly help, but they have no depth. So if anyone gets hurt, things can get real ugly.
Absolutely, yeah. It's just, I mean, I want to draft players in this team.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest, that's my good team. So definitely high risk for me.
All right, Al. Next up on the list is Tony Romo. High risk or low risk?
Why don't you go ahead and start with this one, Mike, since that's your board.
All right. You know, despite his injury, in the past, injuries in the past, I should say, he's got an ADP at 98.7. And, you know, obviously the injury scare is a factor for Romo. But the upside of where you can get him lowers that risk completely. Of the 9 seasons in which he recorded at least 200 dropbacks, Romo has finished among the top 10 quarterbacks in total fantasy points 7 out of 9 times, and has finished in the top 5 twice. The only times that he didn't finish in the top 10 was in 2006, his first season starting, and 2010, when his season was cut short due to injury. Yes, he had 220 dropbacks in that. He only played in 6 games. You know, so the point being that I'm trying to make is that Romo's healthy, he will produce, and getting him in the late round, he's going to be an absolute steal in that fantasy draft.
I definitely agree with you as far as his ADP. Tony Romo was, at least 7 2 years ago before the injury. I believe actually he had somewhere around 31 touchdowns. But it's a good guess. I could definitely get some stats, but he's a very productive player. I mean, they want to run the ball, but a lot of times they are in situations where you underestimate how efficient he can be. And a lot of people now, especially on the waiting quarterbacks, listen, if I can get Tony Romo, I'm perfectly okay with that. He definitely had an injury risk. Well, let's just draft back up James Winston a couple rounds later. I can go with him just in case of injury. But we don't know about that offensive. He's going to have time in the pocket. He's going to have a running game. He has a pass catcher running back. He has the same receivers that he had before with. Over the last couple of years, I am fine with him as a quarterback. So I'm also with you on low risk. As far as the injuries, the only mishap, but I mean, listen, everyone gets injured. And I can probably shoot Tony Romo to be a starting quarterback on one of my teams 100%.
Yeah, I mean, again, other players going around him are Carlos Williams, Eli Manning, Rashad Jennings, Corey Coleman, and Derek Henry. So, Al, next up on the list is Andrew Luck. High risk or low risk?
Andrew Luck.
We've got an ADP of 43.5.
Low risk for me. Strictly because he's going to be a guy that gets plugged into the same offense as he was a top 5 quarterback. He was drafted the first couple rounds last year. I mean, I apologize. The first couple rounds last year. Sorry, I was looking at it. I didn't understand my phone about Kevin Coleman. So sick of hearing about that guy.
Andrew Luck
was drafted in the second round of almost all of my leagues that I was in last year. And
obviously, he was a mid round.
So,
I'm not
drafting
that.
Don't get me wrong. But I definitely have seen him go in the top rounds. I'm perfectly okay with that. He's going to be throwing the ball. He's definitely throws it enough to make up for his mistakes. Just like he made a lot of mistakes last year, but he learned from it. He has a solid game, even though Frank was ancient. But
The receivers are there. You trust them.
Trust
the running game.
And just to jump in it with you real quick here, I think Luck's a low risk as well. He just got a contract that could literally feed a country, which is completely irrelevant, I know, but 6 years, $140 million, I just had to mention it. But even though I've never been big on drafting quarterback early, I still think that Luck, if you like getting quarterback early, is definitely a low risk at the number fourth quarterback, according to the ADP. I mean, they have a nice win total of 9.5, going back to the Vegas effect, and they'll be healthy. So I truly believe that the sky is the limit for this Colts offense. So, feel safe drafting Luck. I mean, he's got some offensive weapons. He's got a ton of them. I mean, Hilton, Moncrief. You got Gore in the backfield who's going to step up this year. He's going to be, in my opinion, I think he can maybe be a top 10 running back. He might be able to knock on the door on that. And other players going near him are Randall Cobb, Greg Olsen, Jonathan Stewart, Jermaine Hill, DeMarco Murray, Jarvis Landry, Ben Roethlisberger, Ryan Matthews, and Jeremy Maclin. You know, some question marks of players, and I think Luck's the safe pick. Yeah, he got hurt, but listen, I think he's going to bounce back this year. He's going to stay healthy, and he's going to be a good pick.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's all based on the build.
But you're looking for guys that are going to get you fancy points.
Why wouldn't you
draft someone where you know
he will get points no matter what?
Now, you can draft someone where you're going to have a question mark for the
ball. Like Ryan Matthews or not.
I think Andrew Luck, low risk. Why not? Go with them, guys. Next up on the list is Jordan Reed. Al, coming in with an ADP of 40. High risk or low risk?
Jordan Reed? I'm going to go with
low risk.
He could be one of the most interesting. He suffered a lot of concussions.
Last season, when he did suffer a concussion,
Go for your own. Me personally, I'm not a huge tight end, in the top of the round guy. Yeah, I mean,
just because he's more on safety guy.
And who knows what can happen with him? Really huge injuries. Listen, if you're in PPR league, don't be afraid to go out and take Jordan Reed in the fourth round. It's easy to do exactly what you need, and that's four touchdowns. That's a volume of passes.
Yeah, I personally think Jordan Reed's going to be a low risk as well. I mean, the tight end position can be a tricky one. And with your player, if you can get a player in that position, that can put up points like Jordan Reed was able to last season. I think you gotta get him. You gotta go after Reed, and he fills that void. Now, yes, like you said, Al, he's very injury prone, as you know he's missed 14 out of the 48 games during the past three seasons. But if my risk with a player is injury and not production, and I'm taking my chances all day long, unless his name's Derrick Rose. But that's with fantasy basketball, and that's a whole other mess. But yeah, Reed was the second highest scoring tight end last season with 150 points.
He had a 77% catch rate to come into the league, and that's been the best among tight ends during that span. He also had 4 weeks last season where he was the number one tight end. Rob Gronkowski had one.
Yeah, absolutely. You're definitely getting a position
advantage over anybody in your league. And that's why people draft Rob Gronkowski so high. And also, back in the day, at least when guys went so deep, that's why you would take it to like Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. It's all about the scarcity of the position. And if you get Rock Jordan, when you need a Greg Olson, you have an advantage every week on your team. Some people like me, they want the running back and receivers to be sexy.
You have to pay attention to reading.
All right, good stuff, good stuff. In a little bit here, guys, we're going to open up the mailbag for Al, and we're going to ask him some questions. But, Al, before we jump into that, we're going to look at some coaching changes in the NFL, just a couple, and break them down, and we're both going to give our opinion on how this will affect the fantasy aspect of it. So first, we're going to go with Adam Gase. Al, what's your take?
I love this move for fantasy. Adam Gase is a guy that gives value to his receivers. And
you're probably thinking, does Jarvis Landry really need more value? Well, first of all, he needs the value that he's getting.
And he had four touchdowns.
I need to get more touchdowns in the red zone. But a lot of talk is about Devontae Parker.
And Devontae Parker is
talking about how he's an extra receiver.
And
if there's one thing that MJ can do, it's develop extra receivers. Demaryius Thomas was one of the most dominant players in the league. Brandon Marshall. Alshon Jeffery. These are all just receivers that he turned into absolutely dominant players because they were in the X receiver position. So I'm looking forward to it. A good year for Ryan Tannehill because of this offense. I'm praying for that, please.
I really think that he's a good fit for this Miami Dolphins team. And I think Ajay is going to definitely benefit from this coaching change as well. Gase already said that he wants to run the ball, and he wants a running back that can play all three downs. And if you remember when Gase was the offensive coordinator in Denver, they ran as a team for 1,785 yards and 15 touchdowns. And his running backs combined for 17% of targets in their passing game. So his running backs were heavily involved in his offense, which is a good sign. And, you know, last season with the Bears, they had their running backs had a similar number, 1,800 yards rushing to go with 13 touchdowns, and his backs combined for about 21% of the targets in their passing game. Now, obviously, like you said, he does like to pass as well, and his receivers have benefit from that as well. When he had two receivers with 1,000 yards or more, Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, who were both in the top five in receiving yards in that year. And as an offense, did the fourth best passing attack that year with 4,600 yards and 40 touchdowns, which was second in the NFL that season when he was in Denver. So I truly believe that you'll see a spike in production from every player on this team. And the big thing is you see also with the team is more consistency, which I think will be a good sign for them.
Absolutely. All of his receivers.
Well, next up is Ben McAdoo.
with the New York Giants. What's your take on that?
I like a lot.
I don't necessarily think this is a move that's going to change a lot, which is what I like. You know that Manning is always a sleeper. He's always a worthy streaming quarterback. And we just know what that does. And I have worked on him in the team of leading, and I couldn't be any happier. I'm getting him in the second round.
And that league, I'm
probably the most excited I've been in a long time. So I just like the fact that they're going to do the same thing, and that's throw football. So I'm
definitely
looking forward to their rookie Sterling Shepard. I think he's going to actually turn into a very fancy relevant type receiver. And
yeah, I don't know. Obviously, I like the sign. I like the, you know, the coaching change. Obviously, as a Cowboys fan, I'm never really too high on Giants players. But, you know, bias aside, I definitely think it's going to be I think it's a good addition. It mixes up the locker room. Sometimes, you know, you get tired of hearing the same voice over and over again in the locker room. But, you know, McAdoo is going to be running the same offense that they've been running the last 2 years. So, if anything, the group should be more comfortable in it. And I think they'll improve. Eli Manning is going to be a monster in fantasy this year, I think. Odell Beckham is arguably going to be their best player. On their team. I think Sterling Shepard is actually a good sleeper, but as far as the running back is concerned, I'm staying away from him.
I definitely agree.
All right, next up on the list is Doug Peterson.
Get right to the questions. I'm going to do this quick and get to the questions because we got to wrap it up. It's going a little long.
All right, next up on the list is Doug Peterson.
How do you feel about it? I'm so glad you asked, Mike. In case anybody doesn't know, I'm an Eagles fan, which is why me and Mike get along so well with him being a Cowboys guy. I'm not going to lie, Mike. I'm pretty excited. Only because
everybody didn't know we don't have a very lethal
pass. The receivers are middle of the pack. Maybe not even, maybe one from here. And I'm not really sure.
So, what really is a good
one at all? I'm excited for Matthews to have this backfield all to himself. I say we'll make the Eagles. That's just how I'm going to refer to them. But I'm definitely excited for Ryan Matthews. In fantasy, I'm excited for Matthews. Also excited for Jordan Matthews. He came on at the end of the year last season. I think we're going to look at him more. And also, I can't get much forgetting about losing that first. He dominated in all these, mostly PBR last year. So many targets in the end of the season. PBR monster. I think he is definitely going to be top. Tight end, and that might be a little bold, but in PPR, look at top 8 tight end. He's just basically going to be in my opinion. And if we don't sign anyone, I don't like Ryan Matthews.
I like Peterson a lot. I don't think they're going to beat out the Cowboys or anything like that, but. From a fantasy perspective, he runs a much more methodical offense than Chip Kelly ran. They'll huddle and run the play clock down. In terms of fantasy, I'd expect more of a running game and more tight end use. You know, Travis Kelce thrived in that offense last year in Kansas City. So if I'm going to go with a player from Philadelphia, I think I'm going to go with Zach Ertz because I expect big things from him in that offense.
Well, I can tell you this. Sam Bradford is going to take more chances, throw the ball down the field more than Alex Smith. So I'm definitely looking more forward to Zach Ertz getting open downfield. And I'm looking more for our receivers to make bigger plays than Kansas City did. They produced some good stats under Doug Peterson last year, though, so I'm a very excited fan.
Oh, yeah. Well, now, guys and girls, sorry, we are going to be going to the mailbag here. Al, are you ready?
Yes, sir. What do you got for me?
All right. So first up on the list, or in the mail, I should say, do you think Le'Veon Bell is actually a threat to Antonio Brown's upside?
Hey, absolutely not.
Antonio Brown is
my boyfriend. I am fully open in saying that. Think what you want. That is my boyfriend. And he is the most dominant receiver in the National Football League right now, hands down. He does it week in and week out. And this offense is so lethal that if they possess the ball, and the receiver that's going to get the job done is Le'Veon Bell is a receiver in my eyes, so he is going to have a great year. He is a receiver running back if I've ever seen one. But the downfield without Martinez's name has to be Antonio Brown. Oh, and he 136 balls this year. So it is safe to say he has a very, very high.
Yeah, I think it's going to pretty much be – I think they're both going to benefit from each other's play, really. I mean, it's going to pretty much make the defense have to pretty much pick their poison. I mean, if you want to stack the box against Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown is going to get busy. If you want to double up on Antonio Brown and safety cover or safety help over the top, Le'Veon Bell is going to get busy. This Pittsburgh Steelers offense is going to be forced to be reckoned with, and not to mention they got that bad man underneath the center in Big Ben Roethlisberger, who I think is going to be a top five fantasy quarterback this season and is a beast. He's so hard to tackle because he's so big. So I think both these players are going to thrive with each other, and I think Big Ben's even going to get in the mix, and I really think that this team, I think Pittsburgh can have three players in the top 10 in their prospective positions this year in fantasy.
I can actually almost guarantee that, barring health. I'm willing to put the guarantee name on that.
The Chad Johnson or the Chad Ocho Cinco guarantee?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
All right, Al, next up is, would you rather have Blaine Gabbert or Colin Kaepernick in Chip Kelly's offense?
I'm going to choose option C, neither. You know what, Mike? I don't know. I mean, I don't know why. It's because I don't know what they're intending to do. But if I had to pick one, you know what? I'm being honest, sad, because I feel like yesterday they were in the Super Bowl. But I'm going to go with Blaine Gabbert. From what I saw from him last season was a very worthy 2QB league quarterback. I mean, he was not afraid to throw the ball in the field. He was not afraid to run the ball. And he will move in the pocket, which is exactly what Chip Kelly needs. He needs play action, rollout throws to the flat, and people that can step into the throw. I'm going to be honest, I have a your memory of Colin Kaepernick throwing the ball to the wall. And that's really just my memory of him. I think he had three interceptions in the first half versus the Cardinals. I could be wrong, but, man, he did not play well. I mean, maybe he's resurged by this offense, but I want to at least start. I want to start Blaine Gabbert because, I mean, we counted this guy out. He was drafted high, thought highly of. Let's give him another shot.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you on that. I like Blaine Gabbert as the better option. Realistically, if I had to choose between both of them, I mean, I would love to just start no quarterback because my league does do negative points. I'm just kidding. I do like Blaine Gabbert. I think he's definitely the more consistent option. I think he just deserves a fair chance and a good shot this year. I give the nod to Gabbert. All right, Al. So this is a question I, you're an Eagles fan, so I think it's fitting. If you're going to draft one player from the Eagles roster, who are you taking?
You heard me talk about all of my guys that I like. But, I mean, you kind of got a little glimpse of that I want. I don't know what we're doing depth-wise. But I can see him being a top 10 running back with Chiefs if we find nobody else. And this guy is an explosive runner. He ran the ball better than ever during the last season. He's going to get a lot of carries. So many carries. Now, he's not Jamal Charles. He's going to be the same as everyone's teams. We do have decent run block. It's going to be good for him. A couple gashes per game. Long carries are what you want in fantasy football. And I can guarantee you that Sam Bradford will be checking out early at some point. And he will get the reception that he needs. I just can't wait for him to be out in this offense. Very excited.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to jump into it too much, as I kind of already noted back, a couple minutes ago in the pod when we were talking about Doug Peterson. If I'm going to take one player from the Eagles roster, I'm taking Zach Ertz. I mean, Travis Kelce thrived the offense last year. I don't really trust any of the Philadelphia Eagles wide receivers. I don't trust the running game. I don't trust Bradford. Sorry, there. I'm going to go with Zach Ertz. That's the guy I would take. So, we're getting down to a couple of last questions here, but what are your thoughts on Tyler Lockett?
Tyler Lockett is a very, very, very exciting young player. I actually think he's being undervalued as far as drafts go. Is that an 80 people? Why don't you pull one up?
I'll pull his ADP up real quick.
I love Tyler Lockett. I've seen a lot of reports saying that they're not on the leash or like that. It's like season last year. I fully expect them to show up and sell away all of it.
You can't catch
whatever it was. I think it was actually five. Even
better. Yeah, I'm at 83 overall.
83? Oh, wow, he's climbing up there, then. Listen, if I can get him in the ninth round, I'm fine with that. He's a bench player for me. I'm sure that he's going on the bench as your third or fourth receiver. Like I said, I have all indications they're going to be a very heavy team. And that doesn't sound normal for the Seahawks. But listen, Marshall Lynch is not here. But we saw the draft already. They can catch the ball. We saw their success in passing at the end of last season. And I just can almost guarantee that they're a half heavy team. I love Russell Wilson this season. I think he's a top three quarterback this year. And I want Tyler Lockett on the team on my bench. That would be insane. Trade date wise, flex wise. I can definitely agree with that.
All right, next up on the list here. Everyone's been really talking about Tevin Coleman lately, which I know you have been waiting to unleash on this. One second before you hold your horses there, okay? Are you going to take David Johnson versus Devontae Freeman? David Johnson's got an ADP of 6.3. Devontae Freeman, 14.8. And who do you like?
It's got to be David Johnson. I like Devontae Freeman. I like him as a player. I cannot hear any more about Tevin Coleman. I'm done with him.
He's a great player. He's a good player.
He can definitely be a guy who has chance. And that's what scares me. And don't get me wrong, I'm not I'm just so young with this Nashville point. One of the guys that I want guys that touch the ball in the passing game and on the ground, and I know the Freeman is fully capable of doing that. I just think they're scared of him. He's a
scared of injury risk, scared of all
he definitely did take a snap at the end of the season last year as far as the carry. So again, he had a 1-2 punch. I am sick of the 1-2 punch. And a firm believer in getting guys going. So I want David Johnson for sure. Kevin Holden has a lot from a long ago and traded or whatever. And Devontae Freeman becomes the same player as David Johnson, in my opinion. That's a good off topic. David Johnson is being talked about, getting talked about by Chris Johnson, but I just think David Johnson is a better player. And that's just a bigger compliment at all. So I definitely want David Johnson.
Yeah, I'd give the head to David Johnson over Freeman. Just because, you know, I know everyone is talking about Tevin Coleman, but last year, you know, I thought, you know, after watching the tapes and stuff like that and watching both their careers and their college careers, I honestly thought Tevin Coleman was going to get the nod. And I thought he was going to be the bell cow in that offense. Obviously, he had his opportunities, didn't really capitalize on him as much. You know, had some fumbling problems and stuff like that. I think he honestly just needed a little bit more time to adapt to the NFL game, whereas Devontae Freeman adapted fairly quickly, which I think worries me because people are going to be very high on Freeman this year, which they should be. You know, he's a good player, he's very talented, but Tevin Coleman, he's got a year under his belt now. He's experienced it. He's gotten the nerves out. I think he really wants to be the starter. I think he can be a starter in this league. So that kind of concerns me. And you made a good point. If Tevin Coleman does get traded, then Devontae Freeman becomes what David Johnson already is. He possibly becomes what David Johnson already is. And I don't know. There's some question marks in this Atlanta Falcons offense. You know, they have some nice young players that could be taking some snaps away from Freeman, and that concerns me.
Don't get in the trading block, and they're probably going to keep him 100% because they like this guy. Very reason
to draft him. We're just giving a scenario where we would obviously like to want to take Freeman a lot more.
I'm definitely with it.
I like both players for sure, but I definitely just need some of their senses.
All right, Al. Is it worth drafting Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb?
Based on their current ADPs, I believe one is going round 2, and the other is going round 4, I want to say. My God,
I can't blame someone doing it.
Like I said,
I definitely want a piece of this 100%.
But as far as both go, I just couldn't feel comfortable starting two receivers.
That's me personally. If you're going to do it, make it two guys,
maybe fit.
Anyone on the Cardinals would do that with as well.
But I feel comfortable with very few teams doing this.
If there is a duo, it would be Green Bay. So I don't mind it at all. But just draft depth at the position. just in case you obviously don't want to sell the whole Green Bay Packers.
Pass the game one week.
Tyler Lockett is a guy I would definitely look to snag. But if you do take the risk of both the Packers, I would definitely do something like that to back up your decision. But I have a problem with the odds.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, this question's only coming up because both of them got hurt last year, and actually, a lot of Packer players got hurt last year, to be completely honest. And that actually helped me a lot in daily fantasy when it came playoff time. And that actually helped me win a lot of money. But
it helped Devontae.
Yeah, it did. And I think it was, what was the game with. Was the game with Laura? Why am I drawing a blank on the player that was my sleeper pick? But end of the game against Arizona. Remember the playoff game where Aaron Rodgers threw another Hail Mary, and
yeah, Jeff Janis.
Yeah, I had
another.
It was I'm pulling up the box score real quick here. But to jump into things here, I like both players. I mean, they had their injuries. They had their injuries. So what are you going to do? I think both players are going to be good. It's going to come down to where they are when they're available in the draft and what players are around them. You got to make a good decision. I think they'll both be good players, but it depends on who they're going to be around. And you're right, that was Jeff Janis. Shout out to him. If you're listening, you hooked me up that week in fantasy. So, thank you. But, guys, so that's it in the mailbag for us this week. Again, if you want to submit any questions to us, I think we're going to make a personal Twitter page for this fantasy show. But, You can follow us both on Twitter. Our Twitter usernames will be at the bottom of this podcast, right below with links on the article post. So you'll be able to follow us directly and reach out to us on Twitter and submit your questions that way. You can also email your questions to info@dystnow.com. We're going to be doing this every week, guys, even during fantasy season. So don't worry, we're not leaving you guys, but
definitely gotta we're gonna give a lot of content to you guys.
I got a lot to talk about. I've been talking for hours on them. I just want you guys to know this is our first one. It's only gonna get better from here. Different rankings. I'm gonna have my rankings up pretty soon.
It's gonna be fun.
We're both idiots. Definitely gonna try to make it as fun as possible. I definitely gotta work on the kinks, but I just wanted to talk about some topics for you guys today. Get something out there, so you guys can see and so we can see the improvement that's been had on the next couple of weeks. Definitely follow us on Twitter. I want to give up a plug us on Twitter right now. I am at L colon
A-L-C-A-L-O-G-N-E.
I'm going to be changing the handle soon, but for now, go ahead and follow me there. And then go ahead and give your Twitter. Everyone that follows.
Yeah, my Twitter name is XORTIZ4X. Go ahead, give us a follow. Like I said, you can ask us anything you want on Twitter, fantasy related. You can ask us sports related questions. We're not going to jump into politics. So on that note, guys, this is the first episode, No Days Off. We're going to be doing this every week. Technically, I guess that kind of goes by against the name since we will be taking 6 out of the 7 days off each week. Speaking to you guys. we're not going to be taking days off as far as getting content. And even answering your questions on Twitter. So, we'll be active with you guys every day. But as far as the podcast goes, we're going to be doing that once a week. So, guys, Thanks for watching, and we'll see
let's get it going. Season.